Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt podcast, bringing to you the best voices on the stories and issues that matter. Here's another piece I'll trust you enjoy.
Let's go to the first question here from Lisa. Charlie, how can we stop what I'm calling holier-than-thou wars that are going on social media since Trump came out with his stance on abortion? And what I heard was a states' rights issue, but he also mentioned exceptions that are akin to Ronald Reagan's exceptions. Now, every pro-life group is outraged, some even saying they're turning in their Republican card. A candidate cannot make changes until he's in office. How do we appease these groups, all of whom I believe Trump will give an audience to, so he can affect real change and get them back on track? So let's walk through this. I have been a recipient of many of the pro-life leaders, and they're wonderful people, people that are really upset right now. Lila Rose, Kristen Hawkins, I don't want to speak for them how upset they are, but, you know, they've been saying some things publicly, and they're fired up. And they're fired up because they believe and they think, based on some of the things that Donald Trump has said, is that he's betraying his pro-life promises. I might be a little charged in my vocabulary selection, but he's turning his back on some of the pro-life promises, and he's no longer a pro-life president. So there's a lot of things going on here right now. So first of which is, you're right, Donald Trump does give an audience to pro-life groups, and he was the most pro-life president in modern American history. He got Roe versus Wade repealed. Understand, abortion would not be a primary topic on any of our political lists or conversations outside of on the fringes if he would not have repealed Roe versus Wade, sending it back to the states where it is necessary. Now, you know my stances on abortion. I'm 100% pro-life, and I remain 100% pro-life. And your principles and your moral stances must be very clear. I hope one day that our politics can be in alignment with what I think is the morally correct stance on abortion, very similar to how we abolished slavery in the 1800s. It took a lot of work. It took a lot of advocacy. In fact, there were abolitionists of slavery that attacked Trump for being inadequately anti-slavery. I sent out this tweet, and it was very well received, I think. And there were some pro-life leaders that texted me, but to their credit, they weren't mad because they know that it's true. And I see it both ways. For pro-life leaders that, and I got to give Blake credit on the team, because Blake has really kind of pulled the alarm on this. The pro-life leaders are afraid that the Republican Party is going to become the Republican Party like in Canada, where there's no pro-life movement whatsoever. That the pro-life position has no political home, and it just disappears into oblivion. I think that's a legitimate concern, not necessarily from Trump, but there are certainly forces in the Republican Party that want to make this issue go away forever. They don't care about pro-life voters. They don't care about the issue. They don't care about the unborn. So I think that is a legitimate concern. And so when pro-life leaders reach out to me, I'm not angry. I could not be more enthusiastic about the Pregnancy Crisis Center cause. I think they're doing the Lord's work. So here's the tweet I sent. I'm 100% pro-life. I have spent countless hours defending the pro-life position on campus and in the media. To all my fellow pro-lifers, we must be passionate as well as strategic. And the choice is simple. If you allow November to become a referendum on abortion, evidence suggests our side will lose and more babies will die. If we win in November, we'll be positioned to claw back radical pro-abortion policies while we continue to persuade more voters on the horror of the horrors of killing babies. Win and we can save lives, and lose and even more will die. Now the criticism some people would say about that tweet is, Charlie, you are compromising your pro-life position. Well, I'm really not. I'm making a statement rooted in political reality, which is, without political power, how are you going to advocate for the unborn? It is legitimately incrementalism. And I would ask for the pro-life warriors in California, how's that working out for you? You're constantly under attack. You're constantly under siege. You're constantly under assault. In fact, you have the California Attorney General going after pregnancy crisis centers. And understand, they will not stop with just people believing in pro-life positions. They will try to lock down any organizations that try to help a woman choose life instead of abortion. At the federal level, the wins we need to look for are very simple: to defund abortions, stop having the military enable them, impose the restrictions that we can, morally delegitimize the pro-abortion cause. But we're not strong enough in numbers or will yet to impose a nationwide ban on a country that rejects it. And that is an uncomfortable truth for my incredible brethren in the pro-life movement. Because for those of us who are pro-life, we see it so clearly. We don't understand how people could look at it any other way. And therefore, there's a fair amount of impatience and anger that sets in. Because those of us who are pro-life say, well, if you're not with us, then you're against us, and I won't move or compromise an inch. It's not even a matter of compromising. It's a matter of taking incremental wins towards a greater goal and a greater purpose. But I will repeat what I said, which is a very difficult truth, but it's a necessary one. Our movement is not yet strong enough to impose a nationwide ban on a country that currently rejects it. We had to fight for 50 years just to overturn Roe versus Wade. And we have to remember the way we fought in those times when banning abortion was literally impossible. And now it's banned in 15 states. That would have been unthinkable 10 years ago. And so the way that it looks, it's going to be just the kind of a chart where we have a huge win, and then there's going to be a little bit of a regression and a retreat. And then there'll be a win, and then there'll be a retreat. But the moving average, the trend is our friend. Betray the pro-life community. And I don't think Trump is doing that. But there are certainly voices in Trump's ear that are trying to get him to do that. Why? Look at what they got done. With limited resources, limited money, 50 years of fervent prayer and activism, launching a multi-decade legal strategy, got it done. We have scored wins, and there are children alive today who would not be alive today if it was not for Dobbs and the heroic work of pro-lifers. But we are not on the brink of final victory, and we cannot act as though we are. It's likely going to take another 50 years to get to our endpoint, and that will require cultural change, spiritual change, political change, all three of those things. And the bad guys that are all on board for the slaughter of the unborn, they're playing offense right now. And sometimes when they play offense, we don't play very good defense, so we're going to have to hold the line the best that we can. And there will be a backlash. So I see it in a very balanced perspective as someone who's 100% pro-life. And I think I'm uniquely positioned to do that because some individuals with their head down in the pro-life movement are very foreign to politics. And some people that are very head down in the political movement are very foreign to the moral crusade of getting rid of abortion in this country. I happen to be in both. I happen to be both trying to change hearts and minds in the cultural, ideological, and spiritual landscape while simultaneously trying to increase political power for good causes. Against evil, for righteousness, for the Constitution, for life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. So both things can be simultaneously true. So what then needs, how do you, the question Lisa asked, who's a member, thank you, members.charliekirk.com, how can we deal with the holier than now? Look, first of all, understand where they're coming from because they actually are advocating for the right thing. Secondly, ask a series of questions, which I've been doing all week, which is, do you think having no political power like we do in New York and California will advance the pro-life cause? Now, their objection is, well, Charlie, all you care about is winning elections. No, it's not all I care about, but it is a primary concern because winning elections gets you political power that then allows you to get policies. That is the system that we have. But it's not all I care about. Elections are a means to the end. Political power is not the end, and that is what differentiates us from the leftist Marxists. The Marxists look at power as the end. We're rather uncomfortable with losing political power. We just don't want, it feels dirty to us. It feels totalitarian. But using political power for good and righteous purposes is necessary. The first step, though, is not to call them holier than thou, Lisa, but I understand where you're coming from. This is a scourge on our nation. It's innocent blood being spilled. And I think people deserve grace if they're getting upset. However, I think walking them through a strategy the same way. We need a recasting of a strategy. For 50 years, the strategy was get rid of Roe versus Wade. We now need a recasting without a vision the people perish. And there might be some movement perishing happening. What does that new 50-year strategy look like? I have some ideas.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
So I want to read a statement here, and then I want to just go to one of the objections here that somebody has. So let's go to this statement here. Donald Trump just put on Truth Social, the Supreme Court in Arizona went too far on their abortion ruling, enacting and approving an inappropriate law from 1864. So now the governor and the Arizona legislature must use heart, common sense, and act immediately to remedy what has happened. Remember, it is now up to the states and the goodwill of those that represent the people. We must ideally have three exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. This is important. Democrats are the extremists. They support abortion up to the moment of birth and even execution of babies, in some cases after birth. This should not be. Arizona legislature, please act as fast as possible. So the last part of the statement is excellent. Let's start there. President Trump is talking about how the Democrats are the extremists. That is absolutely right. I'm neutral on this particular Truth Social post. I understand why he's doing it, and let me defend it. Let me think why he's doing it. The current abortion decision by the Supreme Court in Arizona was technically legally the right decision. It's one that I morally agree with, but it is unpopular with the people in Arizona, and Arizona is a must-win state. So President Trump is trying to float out, hey, he does not want to be tied to the unpopularity of this current measure. That is why he put that out there. However, there is an email we got here from John, which is, Charlie, I'm not voting for Trump anymore. What is the point if Trump compromises on abortion, even if he has a better chance of winning? Why not offer everyone free school, health care, UBI? That would help him win an election, right? So based on what do you think, whatever it takes to win, compromise when you can't govern. Trump has abandoned the pro-life cause, so he doesn't deserve my vote. I have never said you should do whatever it takes to win. I've never said that. I've never alluded to that. However, you want to try to have the most morally clear position that can fit within the popular will of the people so you can get political power. There are positions that we hold that are unfortunately untenable with the American people. So you try to find one that is the best version of that, and then you try to find how can you make it fit with the American people. That is the whole idea of the will of the people and the sovereign. And sometimes the people, they don't want the morally correct and clear position. So do you completely betray, or do you your deeply held beliefs that are rooted in scripture and rooted in truth? Of course not. So no, Trump is not pro-choice, and I think it's kind of laughable if somebody were to say that. This is a guy who put the justices on the Supreme Court that got Roe overturned. He helped defund parts of Planned Parenthood. He is not, to say that is laughable. In fact, I would say he's the most pro-life president in history. Spoke at the March for Life, first to do so. You know who is pro-choice? George W. Bush was pro-choice, like actually pro-choice. And yet pro-lifers voted for him because they saw other merits in his presidency. Even though George W. Bush, especially his wife, were very, very big pro-abortion advocates, he never spoke at the March for Life. Okay, let's get to another question here. Bill from Arizona. Charlie, as a conservative heading into my first year as a PhD student at Harvard, surrounded by predominantly liberal perspectives, what strategies do you recommend for maintaining intellectual independence and fostering constructive dialogue while staying true to my principles, all without getting in trouble with my views? That is definitely written by someone who's getting a PhD. The best thing I could say is you will be an intellectual minority. Ask more questions than you tell people statements. Try to find weak spots in people's arguments, and that will strong your arguments. And read vociferously. There's another good word for you. And go deep into these ideas. Become a master of them. Do not sit idly by and just allow people to say things unchecked.
Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review. If you enjoy your podcast, take a moment, tell a friend to subscribe today. Send them to our website, townhallreview.com. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Thank you for joining us.